We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Chicago! Welcome to the CHGO podcast presented by Goose Island, the official beer of CHGO. You've been listening to CHGO all day. You know it's a big day. We just announced our partnership with Goose Island. They are our official beer partner for tailgates, takeovers, get-togethers, just hanging out on set. I'm pretty stoked. Kevin Kadick here, Mark Carman, Luke Stuckmeyer. This is the Chicago Sports Podcast. We'll be joined by Casey Standahar later, and Lawrence Benedetto is behind the board drinking a 312.
I'm such a shill for corporate sponsors.
It's like people only do things because they get paid. Remember that scene in Wayne's World?
Love the goose.
I'm really upset. Classic movie. It's a straight loaf on my part that I didn't properly.
You already had a beer on the Bears podcast.
I've already been drinking. Started at noon.
I'm happy to get you another beer.
Yeah,
there's a case. There's a whole case right in front of you.
I'll just stay right where I'm at for the rest of my time. Thank you guys for having me, by the way, on the show. First time here. I'd love to be here. Thank you.
Oh, my gosh.
First time caller. You again. Long time listener.
It's good to have you, Carm. Today we're going to be talking about a number of things. Right now, as we speak, the Bulls are playing. They lead the Pistons 61-52 in Paris, France. And what's the end of the first half right now? Okay.
Yeah.
So go Bulls. The CHGO Bulls team is having a great time out there. We're going to talk about Chicago's history of international sporting events a little later in the show. First off, though, we are going to start off with our taking care of business.
Thanks, Nick. What happened on the ping pong table today? Yeah, that's me.
The taking care of business award winner, Nick Moriano, right there.
Nick's my guy.
Let's talk about the taking care of business award winner powered by ComEd. This week, it goes to our guy. I can't believe I'm saying he's our guy, George McCaskey.
Woo! George of the jungle. Way to go, buddy.
On a scooter.
He pulled off quite, I don't know if it was a coup, but an impressive hire, bringing in former Big Ten commissioner Kevin Warren to lead up a culture change, to lead up a drive for a new stadium in Arlington Heights. Kevin Warren is the guy. All three of us were kind of wowed by his press conference. It was something we haven't seen from the Bears organization historically.
His name is not McCaskey.
We'll see how he does. I'm hoping in the future Kevin Warren will win the Taking Care of Business Award winner. Maybe we'll give it to him if the Bears ever hoist that Super Bowl trophy, but we'll probably give it to Justin Fields. But looking at this hire right now, it just really says the Bears mean business, which I don't think we can say that a lot.
Go ahead, Luke. I want to hear you first.
I think it's exciting. I've heard some of the reaction earlier in the week. Danny Parkins, I heard on the Bears podcast talking about, you know, don't put too much into it. It does remind me almost completely of not Theo Epstein. It reminds me of hiring John McDonough. Yeah. Like somebody that left a really great job where people were like, huh, interesting, he's going to that, and he has nowhere to go but up. That right? Like he's starting at the bottom. He's starting with Justin Fields, a bunch of draft picks, a first-year head coach that he could, you know, and GM that he could fire if he wants to in a little bit. But he's, let's face it, the franchise has one way to go, up.
That's an excellent point as far as where he's jumping on.
Yes, it would same exact time as McDonough did it.
Yeah, like you have it's going to be a hard time for you to fail. You have Bears haven't won a playoff game in a decade plus. The stadium is a complete disaster. You have all the cap space. You have the number one overall draft pick. You hopefully are going to have incredible latitude to do what you want to do. And you're probably going to have other offers coming down the pipe. Maybe the offer that – I think the one failing, by the way, because I was at that press conference, I was just rethinking the question that I didn't ask or nobody asked.
Yeah.
I could have been the one to do it. How interested are you in being the commissioner of the NFL that continues to be rumored around? And he wouldn't have answered it, but at least I think it should have probably been asked just to see what he would have said.
Right.
Because, I mean, how long? But so what? If he leaves, that's great.
And that's an easy answer. Right. I'm not focused on the future right now. My focus is 100% on the Bears. And,
right.
And the question is shot down.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I think that's a whole different topic altogether. I love the McDonough comparison because there's a lot of things there. And I think what's interesting is I think a lot of talk when McDonough was running the Blackhawks was, wouldn't he be a good fit for the Chicago Bears? Now, John McDonough rightfully is kind of in exile for the way that he comported himself during the Kyle Beach scandal. The buck stopped with him. He paid the price. But it does seem similar to that Blackhawks thing. The Blackhawks, when John McDonough came in, were a mom-and-pop operation.
Mm-hmm.
They were ruled by a guy and Bill Wirtz, who wouldn't put games on television. That's how backwards. And not now, obviously, the Bears are part of the NFL, which is as big of a behemoth as you can get. But it's still kind of a little bit of a hermit kingdom within the NFL, right?
Yeah.
So this opens it up a little. I think when now Kevin Warren goes to meetings and NFL league-wide meetings, that puts the Bears and elevates their standing a little bit more. And to me, that's exciting. And I know Danny was on the show saying, well, look, you can never screw up a stadium. This is not that big of a deal. And
they've already done it.
Well, he's saying in the year 2023, you can't screw up a stadium.
Because the league is so involved.
And Hoke pushed back and said, look, there are new stadiums that aren't necessarily what the Viking Stadium is, which Kevin Warren had a direct hand in.
I'm focusing in on McDonough and how those two and Kevin are the difference in personality. John was, you know, kind of iron fist guy, and we are going to get this right, and we're going to button up our you are going to be in the office at 8 a.m. with your
suit
tie. Yeah, and you've already read the paper and you're ready to go, and we're not playing around. And Kevin has a drop of that, but there's also a certain level of rapport that you feel like Warren wants to have with everyone within the building, calling himself an intern, that just feels like a little bit different. I'm sure that will change, but there's something personality-wise that I think should be underlined that's different between the two.
Adam had a good point in his newsletter, which was available for diehard, saying that he's a guy that's going to expect everyone in the office the same time as him, whatever. And that did make me think of McDonough, because we know that McDonough was not an easy person to work for. We know he was not an easy person to cover. I know probably everyone on the set got a phone call from John McDonough at some point about something or other.
He was intense.
It's going to be interesting. But there were results. And I know a lot of people say, well, with John McDonough, well, he just did the obvious things. He put him back on TV. He welcomed back Bobby Hall and Stan Mikita. He did that, but at the same time, he made it seem like it was the biggest deal. You or I would have just said, okay, well, yeah, put Pat Foley back behind the mic, call it a day. He rolled out the red carpet, the whole marketing, everything that came around it, and really made the Blackhawks into a...
He also was swinging the hammer, too. Like, he took out a lot of employees early on. There were a lot of people looking for new jobs that he didn't feel were doing their job the way he was going to want them to do. So I'll be interested to see how that plays out for the Bears as well. I've heard that Kevin Warren isn't, he's not the easiest guy to work for, but he might not be John McDonough.
Interesting.
So the title of today's show is Best Hires in Chicago Sports History. And this is not a free agent signings thing, so let's just throw players out the window.
Okay.
Who's the best hire in Chicago sports history? Is it? I don't think there's a...
I'll be honest with you. I don't know how you could not say Theo, because how do you go from 108 years of losing to then winning the World Series? It's the biggest championship in American sports history. It's got to be Theo. He took them from lovable losers to winning the World Series.
Right.
So pretty much by himself. Now, not hiring, but Tom Ricketts had to make that hire, and somehow he took them away from the Boston Red Sox. You know, it wasn't like he was out there tolling around. You could say he took him away from Minnesota. He took him away from the Red Sox.
Yep.
He broke that curse. He was done with it.
But that,
time to move on.
Right.
That thing was falling apart, and Theo was ready for change. So, but he does get credit, 100%. But if we're going to do McDonough versus Theo, and I don't like to be just a...
Well, I think it depends how we define hire, because if we open it up past the front office... Is Harry Carey a more important hire to the Cubs?
That's a great one.
Than Theo Epstein.
Took him away from the Sox.
Took him away from the Sox. The Sox had just gone to pay television. Harry said, I don't want any part of it. Did the reverse Lancaster.
And turned Wrigleyville into a party.
If you're talking about strictly becoming the face of the franchise and lighting up the... I mean... That's an excellent one. Harry had enormous influence. I still miss him to this day. Bring him back. Rise him back up. Let's go. But
No. We saw him this summer. It was terrible.
Oh, my.
Last summer.
at the game in Iowa, hologram or whatever that thing's that was called. Awful. Hideous.
You would have Cubs signing autographs along the wall at Wrigley in the 80s, and you'd have Harry, and there would be a monster crowd around Harry, and there'd be like four people who wanted to...
I'm just merely saying you just said to bring him back from the dead. That's
yeah,
all I'm
no,
saying.
No,
yeah.
Right, I understand we can't do that. But rewinding back, like McDonough, 3 rings, Theo, 1, and Cass Weil, Greg Braggs to CHGO. I mean, that's kind of close.
Brick by brick.
Brick by brick. That's hysterical, Cass. And I'm assuming you're related to Greg. If you're not.
Not as funny as Matt Nagy in the chat saying it's not even close, boys. The Bears hiring Matt Nagy.
You were big.
I'm going to throw a name out there that I think maybe you could argue. I don't know if he's – Theo Epstein, the drought, I think he is number one. Let's talk about –
if you can't pick number one, at least we could do a Mount Rushmore, right? Yeah.
Let's talk about Jim Finks.
Oh, Jim Finks.
Jim Finks was the architect of the Purple People Eaters in Minnesota, and that dynasty or whatever you want to – you know, that was the last time the Vikings won an NFL championship. Kind of a similar situation, because up to that point, George Halas had always been the football operations guy. He was, you know, he chose everything. He was the first outsider to come in. I think he came in 1974 and drafted Walter Payton in 1977.
Pretty good.
They made the playoffs in 1977 for the first time since 1963. They made it again in 1979. Then Halas didn't consult with Finks in hiring Mike Ditka, which is another conversation we can have in this topic.
Another great hire.
But right? He's like, I'm out the door, but I'm going to stay for the 1983 draft.
Ooh,
and the 1983 draft, if the 2023 Chicago Bears can do as half as well as they did in 83.
Two Hall of Famers.
Jim Finks, first round. Jimbo Covert.
Hall of Fame.
Willie Galton, the first round. Mike Richardson in the second, L.A. Mike.
L.A. Mike.
Dave Duerson in the third.
Yep.
Tom Thayer in the fourth.
Wow.
Mark Bortz in the eighth.
And?
Wow.
Eighth round defensive end named Richard Dent.
Hall of Fame.
Like, that's insane.
I mean, that's the best draft in Chicago sports history. That's pretty clear.
I hate to be the
nobody's near that.
Cold water on the show on this one, but who else was drafted in that 1983 draft?
Dan Marino.
Dan damn-ass Marino. How many Super Bowls would they have won with Marino?
More than Dan Marino won with the Dolphins.
More than Dan Marino won with the Dolphins. I mean, if you talk to it, like 84 to 89 with Marino, I don't know if they ever lose.
Still a great draft.
Still a great draft.
There's always a hindsight, but when you get two Hall of Famers in one draft.
I love Jim McMahon, but Dan Marino, we would not be sitting here talking about 1985. It would have been that's a dynasty all day long.
Here's a question for you. We've talked about the Bears, the Blackhawks, the Cubs. Who's the best hire in White Sox history? Who's the best hire in Bulls history?
The Bulls.
Oh, I mean, it's clearly Tony La Russa in 2019 or 2020.
Clearly not.
The Bulls one is interesting because you could say a lot of different people. You could say Phil Jackson, but how about the guy that made the hire?
Please no. Please don't.
Jerry Krause.
Please don't. The Penguin.
Why don't you go further back than that? None of it matters if Rod Thorne doesn't take Michael Jordan. The most important draft pick in the history of sports. Michael Jordan.
Rod Thorne made the pick. I'm with you. Rod Thorne.
So,
all
I mean,
day.
Jerry Krause has the banner hanging up, but Rod Thorne is the guy that drafted Michael Jordan. Now, Jerry's got a big role.
What's interesting is I think Phil Jackson is, I think you lump him in with Joe Maddon and Joel Quenneville. They were a trio of coaches who were brought in to replace guys, and maybe this is giving Rick Renteria maybe a little bit of an unfair shake, but Doug Collins got the Bulls to where he could take them. Dennis Savard, nice guy, signs a good autograph, but was not going to.
Hey, come on!
But the players loved him. Patrick Kane sobbed.
He did.
Sobbed when they hired Coach Q.
Would they have won 3-6 with Dennis Savard?
I don't think so, and I don't think that's a shot at Savvy. I think that was he was a popular guy within the organization, though. Savvy still is. So, like, hiring Q was kind of.
Dennis Savard was a throwback to that mom and pop organization, right? Let's hire Dennis Savard to run things. Like Jeff Saturday is running the Colts. Dennis Savard is running the Blackhawks, right? So for the White Sox, is it Ozzie Guillen?
I think it's Ozzie, right?
Who created Ribby and Rhubarb? I'll give that guy.
That guy was solid too.
Are you on a whoever the old school Brooks Boyer was.
In all my years,
Bill Vec's in there.
Yeah, like, Bill Vec, come on.
I mean, I don't know if that's really a hire.
He was the owner.
He can't. I guess you can't say that. But like most important people. But as far as a hire, they don't win the World Series in 05 without Ozzie, right? Do we all agree?
I think so. Yeah, I think that's right.
Nose diving down the stretch.
Ozzie ball.
Ozzie's probably the most important one in White Sox history.
I mean, there's not a. We don't have a.
But I also just kind of feel like that was just. I feel like the White Sox, a lot of their history, God bless them. They just kind of stumble into good situations. It's never anything like good decision making. I was like, oh, let's go after Ozzie. He's a, he was a former player. Let's go get Robin Ventura. Didn't work out as well. Let's go bring back Tony La Russa a second time. Didn't work out as well.
There's a reason why, at least in the last 40 plus years, there's been one World Series on the South Side.
And Phil, by the way, sorry to interrupt. It just popped in my head, and I'm old. I don't want to forget this. Phil replacing Doug Collins was popular too.
Yeah,
that was
our guy Darius Morgan says in the comments the Savard situation was exactly like the Doug Collins of Phil situation.
Almost identical.
I don't agree with that. I think Doug Collins was a better coach than Dennis Savard.
Yeah,
was.
I agree with that.
But Doug Collins was
Doug Collins went on to have other NBA head
coaches. But Blackhawks fans loved Dennis Savard. Bulls fans weren't like Doug Collins is our.
Yeah,
people
were pissed at the time, though. It was not popular. I remember listening to Capagon Sports that night when, I'm not lying either. When Doug got and people were like, "How the? Are you kidding? Like you were just in the Eastern Conference Finals. You lost 4-2 to Detroit. You're firing the coach, and who the hell is Phil Jackson? I mean, that's that was what the thought was at the time.
I remember
so,
that.
I'm not a. I've never been a Krause guy. I think he's got way too much credit, but that was a great hire by Jerry Krause.
No, I once peed next to Jerry Krause at in Maryvale, lovely Maryvale in spring training.
I peed next to Harry at Wrigley. We have something in common, Lawrence.
Nice. How about that? Was it a trough situation for you?
No, it was individual stalls. Right. Harry, how you doing?
Hi!
The ball club. He was pissed. They were like, that might have been 0-14 year, 97.
He was pissed and he was pissing.
Never thought this show'd talk urine.
Harry Carey.
You're in trouble now, Luke.
But
I like this conversation. It's an interesting one. I mean, we've seen a lot of bad hires. Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace come to mind. Tony La Russa, we've talked about. Trestman.
Emery.
This has
Emery.
Warren has a chance.
Pass the 3-1-2.
Yeah, right. Warren has a chance to go down as the greatest hire in Bears history.
I don't think that's.
We just laid out honestly what Jim Finks did. Like,
didn't Danny Parkins convince you that that's not possible?
He did not. He did not.
I kind of agree with what he's saying. I love the hire because of the reasons he's been hired.
Right.
Do the stadium right, okay? Make the team more money. But he's not going to invest that money back. Theo took the money that he was making the team and then put it back into the team. He can't do that in football. There's a salary cap. So it's like he's not going to impact, I don't think. I don't see the ways that he could impact the actual on-field product other than if he needs to rehire a GM moving forward and needs to hire the right guy. But outside of that, it's more about making the McCaskies money and getting the stadium right for the fans.
Well,
and he could leave after 5 years, and that would be fine with me.
Yeah. I'd love Jim Phillips to come in after that.
It's on the table, though, that he may have to hire a GM. I mean, it's not going to be tomorrow, but in a couple of years, if things go sideways, he could be in that position. And he has to support, or he has the opportunity to support Ryan Poles in ways that a GM in that position hasn't had before. So
I feel good about all those things. I feel great about the hire. But most of us feel good about the hire because it's not
what it says.
It's not Ted Phillips.
Yeah.
Sorry to be the guy.
By the way, how do you know Jim Phillips isn't going to be Big Ten commissioner?
He could be.
Yeah. That would be interesting.
He could go from there to
the Bears. And then he could become NFL commissioner.
That's right.
I don't think Jim Phillips is an NFL guy.
Jim Phillips is a great hire.
Phillips is a college guy. Kevin Warren was not a college guy.
I wonder if
I'm not saying I would have chosen him over Kevin Warren. I like the Kevin Warren hire. I'm just saying, are there other guys that could do the job? Yes, but I like this man specifically because everybody raves about the Minnesota Stadium, and that's his most important job right now.
Yep. Darius, that's a good name in Dallas Green. That was a fantastic hire for the Cub, even though 84 did not work out the way we wanted it to work out.
Rest in peace.
All right.
I sat next to Dallas Green on a flight once from...
But did you pee next to him?
No, I sat next to him. He was a large man. I was like, at that time, I was about half the size I am now. I was like 12 years old. And he fell asleep. He was snoring.
On your shoulder?
My dad was like, you're sitting next to Dallas Green.
That's amazing. Yeah. Snoring Dallas Green. Do you know the David Kaplan Dallas Green story?
I do not, but I'm about to.
You're real... Well... Good old Young Cap used to sell T-shirts on the street.
Oh, that's how, yeah, I do know this.
And he was also a vendor. So somebody on the street was like, is there any way I can get that shirt? Can I get 10 of those? He's like, I don't have 10 on me, but I can go to my car and I'll bring them to you in the stadium. Where are you sitting? So he comes in with his 10 shirts, and the guy's like, I love that shirt. Hold it up. Show all my friends what I'm buying. So he throws it up. And Dallas Green is like watching from wherever, and it's like, fire that vendor who's selling his shirts that we're not selling.
Oh, no.
Green fired Cap.
There it is.
That's the Dallas Green David Kaplan story. Thank you very much. I know people were tuning in for that today.
That's something I didn't know.
Yeah, there you go.
All right, Luke, you want to tell us about Athletic Greens?
I do.
Let's move on. I was trying not
to read the chat. guys, our another one of our partners is a product I've been using every day. Started taking AG1 because I didn't have time. Wanted better gut health, more energy, and optimized immune system. I've been on it for about 9 months, and I love it. It doesn't taste super healthy. It's got a mild tropical taste. Instead, it is very healthy with that tropical taste. Here's what it is. One scoop of AG1, 75 high-quality vitamins are involved here. Whole food source, superfoods, probiotics, and adaptogens to start your day right. A special blend of ingredients supporting your gut health, your nervous system, your immune system, your energy, recovery, focus, aging, all those things that are important to a Mark Carman. I get a noticeable boost of energy, so I take it first thing in the morning, empty stomach, and zing, there I go, off to my day. With a skip in my step, and it's lifestyle friendly too, whether you're keto, paleo, vegan, gluten-free, dairy-free, you're all good with AG1. You're investing in an all-in-one nutritional insurance for less than $3 a day. That's nothing. It's practically free to you at this point. And it's recommended by professional athletes, more than 7,000 five-star reviews. So right now, reclaim your health, arm your immune system with convenient daily nutrition, one scoop in a cup of regular water every day. That's it. That's all you need. You don't need a million different pills and supplements to look out for your health. And to make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free one-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/CHGO Cubs or CHGO Bears, CHGO Bulls. Again, that's athleticgreens.com/CHGO Cubs to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance.
All right, I want to tell everyone about Game Time. Game Time is the hottest new ticketing site that makes it easier than ever to score the best deals on tickets to sports, concerts, and shows. If you've ever dreamed of sitting in a seat you never thought you could, like the 50-yard line, courtside, behind home plate, it is possible with the Game Time app. The biggest last-minute price drops can be found on the seats you never thought you could buy, and you will not find a better deal this season. I might check this out. The Blackhawks play on Sunday. Haven't been out there yet. Don't want to spend a lot of money to see the worst team in the NHL.
Game Time.
I'm going to fire up Game Time. Game Time is created by the fans, for the fans, and guarantees the lowest price. If you love CHGO, then you'll love Game Time. And the best way to support us is by buying your tickets through the link in the description. So on Sunday, I will come back to this, fire up the description, click the link. Voila. Join over 15 million people who have downloaded the Game Time app and score the best seats to all your favorite events. All right, the Bulls right now are leading 72-60. Hopefully they can keep things up. We know they've had problems with leads this year, but I got a text from Will Gottlieb. He says there's no Wi-Fi in that arena.
That ain't good.
I thought Paris was like a modern city.
Yeah. It's supposed to be spectacular.
He's like, I don't know about the writing. I said, well, you better like write it on paper and scan it in or something. Like,
did you see the outfit that Joakim Noah wore when they recognized him on the court? It's amazing. It's so Joakim Noah. He's got a hat. He's got a hoodie. He's got sweatpants that are tucked into his socks. He's got Crocs on.
Yeah.
It's very Joakim. There, you can see it on the YouTube channel.
That is amazing.
He looks like Obi-Wan Kenobi coming out of the desert.
You know what I mean? There are times when you hear, oh, so-and-so got asked for their ID by security, and they didn't recognize it was such and such famous athlete. This dude tries to get into the Paris thing. People might be like, hey, what's going on? Like, let's see your credentials.
He's Joakim in France.
I mean, being 7 feet tall helps, so.
Noah is just popping up wherever he wants to be these days.
Yeah.
Just living the life.
Yeah.
Tibbs gave him $72 million for 4 years in New York and whatever else he made in his life, and just going to hang out.
Good for him.
I just hope Matt Peck's allowed back through customs after his interaction with Joakim.
We're going to talk a little bit more about CHGO Bulls and Joakim Noah when Casey comes on set in the third segment. But first, because the Bulls are playing in Paris, we start talking about Chicago's history of international games. I actually went through and looked at the international game history for the Bulls, Blackhawks, Cubs, White Sox, and Bears.
Here comes Japan. Let's go, Cubbies.
I put things together.
Oh, totally forgot.
I'm going to say the date. I'm going to say the location. You tell me which team played there.
Okay, I got my buzzer ready.
Is this Carm versus Luke?
No, I'm not going to do. I can tell you right now, I'm not going to do.
I'm not going to do well either.
I forgot what I had for lunch.
Me too.
We're going to go in chronological order.
Okay.
Starting all the way back in 1960, as far as I can tell.
Good luck.
And now Bears. I don't know if the Cubs or Sox back in there. I guess you could, you know, I don't know. Back in their day, they snuck across the border to play whatever. But starting in 1960, there was a game at Varsity Stadium in Toronto. Who played there? And we're not counting the Blackhawks for any Canadian games, by the way.
1960 Varsity Stadium, Toronto.
It's got to be the Bears.
I mean, it sounds like a Bears thing,
the
right?
The Bears.
The Bears and who?
Toronto Argonauts.
Bears in Buffalo?
They played an exhibition against the New York Giants, beat them 16-7. A year later, the Bears.
One for one.
I just screwed it up.
Woo, we got it.
These things happen.
Damn 3-1-2.
Nobody
Stuckmeyer,
heard you.
Two for
damn
two.
3-1-2. The Bears played at Molson Stadium in Montreal.
Beautiful.
Who did they play?
The Alouettes.
They did. They played the Montreal Alouettes.
3-3.
And beat them 34-16. I could not find evidence if they used the CFL state,
Man, I'm on fire.
CFL's three downs, right?
Why did they play Why did they play the Alouettes? Is there a reason?
Probably because
that's where they're from. Montreal Alouettes.
Someone probably cut a check to Papa Bear.
That's
he probably turned around and gave it to the Packers to save him.
So did they play in the tiny little narrow field? Did they do three downs?
I could not find any evidence of this game. But
what year was it?
1961.
Dollars would make sense there. I like it.
Interesting.
No international trips for another 25 years when a Chicago team played at Wembley Stadium in London. Who was that?
Bears. Fields against Bears. The Cowboys. 1986.
That was the first game after Super Bowl 20.
That's right.
Lawrence.
Bears. And
the Bears won 17-6.
A young Roger Bennett of Men in Blazers.
Oh, that's right. That's how he became
here
a fan.
In Chicago, even though he lived in England at the time.
Oh.
And he met them at the airport at like 3 in the morning. It's a great story in his book. If you haven't read his book,
that's great.
I highly recommend it.
I should have placed DraftKings bets on me getting these right. I would have been.
So my dad had a poster of the 1986 schedule. He still has it. It's still hanging in his garage. And that
nice
first one is Bears and Wembley Stadium. And I just remember being like a 7 or 8 year old kid thinking, why are they playing in London? 1988, Ullevi Stadium in Gothenburg, Sweden.
Got to be the Blackhawks.
Ullevi Stadium.
You don't go to Sweden to play. Well,
it's
wait
not
a minute.
It's not
what
the
year?
Bulls.
1988.
Doesn't feel like the Bears either. I think you're right on the Hawks.
It was actually the Chicago Bears. They lost to the Minnesota Vikings, probably because it was a Scandinavian country. 28-21.
See, if it was 1980, I would have said Der Sting. Maybe the Chicago
Sting.
I had that hidden in my head.
Regular season game?
Exhibition.
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 Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
They weren't handing out. I don't think they'd hand out an NFL game to Sweden.
No.
Remember they, like, divided up all the NFL teams and said, "The Bear, who do the Bears belong to now, Spain? Or is it?
I don't remember.
Everyone's got a territory over there now. By the way, today the NFL announced the 5 teams that will be playing international teams.
Yeah.
The only team that the Bears that is on the Bears' schedule is the Chiefs.
Yeah, and they play at Kansas City.
They play at Kansas City, so there is a chance Bears Chiefs could be overseas.
In Germany.
In Germany. That'd be kind of cool.
Germans.
How cool would that be?
That would be very cool.
I wonder if when the Bears played in when they played in Sweden, you think they went to the first ever IKEA? Was it open yet?
I don't know the answer to that.
Had the meatballs at IKEA, then went and played a football game.
Assembling a little.
What are these?
Little nightstand.
These are like white gravy meatballs.
I did not know that.
I have no recollection of that. Like some of these I just have no recollection of.
No, I don't.
All of these.
Wembley, I remember.
Well, yeah, you don't, yeah.
So far, just Wembley do I faintly remember this game.
Yeah. 1991, Berlin, Germany.
Bears?
49ers beat the Bears 21-7. 1992, London, England. Wembley Arena.
Oh, that's Bulls.
Also feels like the Bears.
Bulls. Wembley Arena.
Wembley Arena.
Arena.
Bulls.
92?
It's indoors. I'm going to say Bulls.
It was the Chicago Blackhawks.
Wow.
They went over there and played the Montreal Canadiens in a 2-game set and split the set.
Hey, shout out to Darius who said he had the Junkyard Dogs and Black and Blues Brothers posters.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I have that.
I still
also
do.
That's in my parents' basement somewhere.
I have those in my garage.
I think mine are gone.
Your family with the garage posters. You guys are big on the garage
posters. It runs
posters
in the family.
Yeah.
How else are you supposed to dress up a garage?
That's right.
You paint the inside of your garage?
I didn't know that anybody did dress
it. One of those fancy floors?
Already, no. Like, there's drywall on it. There was already paint on it, but there's, you know.
I wish
the fancy floors are the worst. You slip on them.
I've got the not attached garage, so it's just cold out there, but I still have a TV mounted, my dartboard.
I've never gotten the invite.
I got nothing. I got cobwebs.
Okay. We'll change that.
Cobwebs and a lot of
bring
junk.
Some Goose
I've got the picture of the fridge by the fridge.
Nice.
And then I don't know if you saw the Chicago Party Ant series on Netflix. They actually, in her apartment, she's got the same poster of the fridge. We all know the one we're talking about, by the fridge. I never felt more seen.
Who is the Party Ant?
You've never seen the Chicago Party Ant?
No, I have, but what's her name?
Well, it's Chris.
Denise, right?
It's Chris Wytrowski, who is the actor.
It's actually a dude who runs the couch.
Yeah.
He's a good guy.
Oh.
Yeah. We should have him on.
He was in The Bear.
He was in The Bear. He was the sister's husband.
Yep.
Yeah.
1997, Dublin, Ireland.
Oh, Dublin. 1997.
Feels like the Bulls.
Yeah, that does sound like it would be the Bulls.
But maybe I don't remember it if it was.
I don't think it is because, of course, there's something coming up that's Bulls.
Dublin, Ireland.
You know
1997.
What? I'm going to go against the grain. I'm going to say Blackhawks. Say Blackhawks. They tried to build the Irish hockey background.
It's not the Cubs. It's not the Sox. I don't know.
The Blitz were gone already. The
Pittsburgh Steelers beat the Chicago Bears 30-17 there in an exhibition game.
Yeah.
1997, Paris, France.
Yep.
Last dance, baby.
Yeah,
nice. I was saying 98, but okay, so it was in the first half of the season. Yeah. Okay, got it.
Preseason.
They played two exhibition games. They played PSG Racing and the Greek team Olympiakos.
That's Tony Parker's former team.
And it did
Racing
make
it. Team.
2000, PSG, Tokyo, Japan. There two game set.
That's the Cubbies.
That is Cubs. Sammy.
That's the Cubs.
My goodness.
Les Grobsy was there.
Who did they play?
Mets. They played the Mets.
Was it Interleague? It was the Mets?
New York Mets. It opened the season.
I don't remember.
And they lost 4-0 or something like
they
that,
split
right?
The series, the two game set.
Okay.
They won the opener, lost the second one.
I just remember that was like peak Sammy like mania in Japan.
No, the white bulb was flashed in front of my eyes for that one, and I completely erased it from the memory bank.
I feel like Mark Grace hit a home run in one of those games, but maybe he was already gone.
I feel like Tuffy Rhodes would have hit one.
Tuffy was so good.
Or Matt Merton.
I loved Matt Merton. I did. I thought Matt Merton was the answer.
Came big stars over in Japan.
True.
2009, London, England.
2009.
Exhibition game.
2009. That's got to be the Bulls.
Bulls beat the Jazz 102-101. 2009, Zurich, Switzerland, and Helsinki, Finland.
That's the Blackhawks.
The Blackhawks, they played two exhibition games against European club teams in Switzerland, then moved on to play the Florida Panthers in Finland and split the series. That was the start of their first Stanley Cup run.
I was going to say, that's 2009.
They lost that opener, and it was like, uh-oh, what the hell? I think that was the same day that Chicago got voted out of the Olympic conversation, if I remember right.
I just threw that binder out. I had a binder that was like as thick as that Goose Island.
Should have put that on eBay.
I probably should have, but it was just taking up space and we were moving. I'm like, you know what? Nobody's going to buy this. Threw it in the dumpster.
Should have brought it here.
Recycle.
2010, Toronto.
The White Sox?
No, it can't White be Sox Cubs.
Played,
can't
no, the
be
White
Sox.
Sox have played it. Have
can't
played
be Bulls.
In Toronto.
It
White
has
Sox
to be
play
the
in Toronto all the time.
Oh,
Bears or Hawks? Well, no,
the Bears.
It has to be the Bears.
Who
it
do they play?
It literally has to be the Bears.
The Bears played
the Giants.
The Bills.
They played the Bills. They won 22-19.
So that was just the Bills' home game then, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
2011, London, England. Got a lot of London, England.
A lot of London
the
here.
Bears, is that Bears Raiders? No. That's not yet.
London, England, 2011?
Bulls.
Cubs?
Blackhawks.
The Bears.
Bears. Was it the Sting?
It's not the Sting. The Bears beat the Tampa Bay Buccaneers 24-18.
I'd love to get the Sting in here. I think we've passed the Sting's existence, so that's not going to happen. But
Lawrence wore a Sting jersey the day of our launch.
Nice.
An opening
Carl Heinz Granita. Yeah. See that on there, Darius. Nice work.
I think
2013, Rio de Janeiro, Brazil.
That was the Bulls.
That was the Bulls. They beat the Wizards 116-81.
That I see.
Exhibition game. 2018, Mexico City, Mexico.
That's got to be the Bulls, too.
The Magic beat the Bulls 97-91. 2019, Berlin and Prague.
Blackhawks.
Yep.
Played the Flyers in Prague.
And they win or lose?
They lost.
Were you there?
There we go.
I was not. Oh. Friend Ryan McGuffey went, though, for his 40th birthday party.
Oh, Guff, nice.
To Prague and back.
Did he stop back in England?
Saw both games. Yeah, they did. They saw every game overseas and then came back. He went bing, bing, back.
Just the Blackhawks?
Yeah.
Because there was
no, they saw the who was the other game that was going on at the same time?
There was a game in 2019 in London, England.
There was a Bears game.
Yeah, so
Bears.
People
he
were
saw
doing
that
the
too,
daily
I think.
Double.
I think. I believe they saw all of them.
Oh, Guff. I'm shocked 40th he's 40.
How about that for a 40th birthday run?
I still think of him as like a 22-year-old. That's my knowledge of Guff, though.
So, 2019 London Bears, they lost the Raiders, and I think that was the first inkling that maybe this Matt Nagy thing was not going to work out.
Where are you at now in the chat, Matt?
Ouch.
Yeah, where's Matt?
He might have left us. Darius took over.
So, 2023, Bulls, Pistons, and Perry, and coming in June, London, Cubs, Cardinals.
Cubs, Cards.
Excited, Luke?
Cubs, Cards. Big Ben. We don't know if we're going yet, but I know that Cody has tried to get his passport all lined up for that.
We'll tell you on June 21st.
He's working on the passport. Sorry, Cody.
I don't want to throw cold water again, but couldn't it have been like Cubs Pirates over there? Why do we got to ruin a Cubs Cardinals weekend and put it in London? Don't you want to go to Wrigley for that?
Nah, it'd be pretty
cool. They play each other 19 times. Who cares?
You want to go over there and see them play? Well,
it's always special, though. I love every Cubs Cardinals
week.
Nobody
in London wants to see the Pirates play anything.
They don't care in London, do they? They love the Pirates.
If you're going to go over there, at least make it a good game.
Bulls up 14 at the moment.
Let's go.
Fourth quarter?
They never lose over there.
No, third quarter.
They usually lose to teams like the Pistons, though.
Yes, they do.
That's the problem. So
I'm a buyer on the Bulls. So many close games.
All right. Carm, thanks for joining us.
I'm leaving. You're
kicking me off.
Shipping
you out.
I feel great.
We got to make way for Casey.
Am I the first person in the history of the show that didn't make it through the end of the show?
Yes.
That's a great question.
Take your.
All right.
Goose Island. You're supposed to.
Don't forget your 3-1-2.
I got everything. I
feel like we should have a clip of Nancy Foss. Dun.
This is a huge upgrade for the show.
Hey, goodbye. Luke, tell us about Shady Rays.
They never understood why sunglasses were so expensive, so they set out to change it. You don't have to break the bank for quality sunglasses because our friends at Shady Rays have you covered. Shady Rays are premium polarized shades featuring world-class optical clarity, substantial durability, and styles that are catered to everyone and every lifestyle. The best part about Shady Rays, though, they have an insane protection program. Lost and broken replacements. You're not getting that anywhere. If you lose or break your shades on day one, they told us they'll send you a brand new pair, no questions asked. Drop them in a lake, off a cliff, anything. Lose them in Paris, they'll replace them. Even with that strong of a protection program, they still managed to make quality that I can tell you, holding in my hands, just as good as any other pair I've ever owned, including Ray-Ban. Shady Rays customers seem to agree with over 200,000 five-star reviews. Shady Rays also provide 10 meals to fight hunger in America with every order placed and have donated. I thought it was a typo the first time I saw it. 20 million meals to date. That's impressive. They stand behind their product, too. Told our team if anybody's got a problem, they throw profit out the window. Do what's right to get it right. Free returns and exchanges. You either love your Shady Rays or they're going to pay to ship them back. That's it. Exclusive for our listeners, Shady Rays running the deepest deal of the season. Use the code CHGO for 50% off two pairs or more at ShadyRays.com. Buy one, get one free. BOGO. Two pairs as low as $54. Redeem only at ShadyRays.com, where you can find all their newest and best shades.
I wish I could have used my Shady Rays today, but it's like awful out.
So gloomy today.
So maybe tomorrow. This weekend, the NFL playoff action continues, and we are one step closer to Super Bowl 57. And for the NFL divisional round, we want you to check out DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. New customers can bet just $5 and get $200 in free bets instantly. Luke, I'm going to share something with you.
Okay.
These sportsbooks, they give out good deals when it's NFL playoff time. This is a good deal. You want to take care of it.
Done.
Plus, all new and existing customers can take a shot at an even bigger payout with DraftKings stepped up same game parlays. Boost your NFL winnings with each leg you add up to 100%. So I'm looking forward. I'm probably going to do like a four-leg parlay. Let's see if I can hit all four games this week. See if I can do it. Didn't do it this last weekend. Lost on the first game. I thought maybe I'll get some entertainment out of Super Wild Card Weekend.
Didn't work. Nothing worse than losing. Well, actually, there is things worse than losing on the first one is losing on the last one.
Which one hurts more to you?
It's the last one.
No, because you can hedge on the last one.
Yeah, that's true. I guess fine.
Don't let your four-leg parlays become dogs.
Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code CHGO, and new customers, again, will bet $5 on the NFL divisional round and get $200 in free bets instantly only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code CHGO. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See show notes for details. It's time for Scroll Stoppers with Casey Standahar, who's been one very busy social maven today. Casey, what's up?
Hi, guys. I have been a busy social maven today.
You managed the Goose Island launch.
Every day, Casey.
And every day, you're right.
Don't just say today.
It was launch day. It was a big day today because our partnership with Goose Island is a big deal. And so we wanted to blow it out and make it awesome. And we did.
We did. And not only that, we've had awesome social content from CHGO Bulls in Paris all week.
Yes, we. I am going to be the Paris CHGO in Paris correspondent today.
Yeah.
Since the guys aren't here.
Or since you're not there.
And since I'm not there, I need a little beret, whatever. It's fine. I'll get over it. The guys are having a great time, and they're meeting their heroes. They're doing really great things over there. The first video I want to show for Scroll Stoppers is this video that the CHGO Bulls crew and RG produced. They met up with Io at the Louvre Museum. And this is really cool. They had him talk about some of his memorable moments. This specifically is about his block on KD.
Here we go.
It's three pictures of you. You know what I'm saying? We just want you to tell me what was going on in this picture, you know, at that time that it happened.
I bet.
What was going on? What was going on in your head right here on this one?
So actually, you know, I think DeMar had turned it over.
Yeah.
And then, so like, once itself I turned over, my first 3 seconds is to always never think about turning over, but try to, what I could do next to prevent them from scoring.
Right.
So he turns it over. So my first three steps, I turn. I get into it to get ready to run back on defense, and I see KD going.
Yeah.
So then I knew that he was trying to go to him and dunk it or lay it in. So I wanted to try to time my steps up and get there. And then once I saw Zach and Damari like off to the shot, I knew I had a chance to block it. In that moment, I'm not saying, oh, this is KD. I'm just trying to like prevent him from scoring. But after the play, wow, that was KD. That was
it's three.
Pretty cool to have him there in Paris on his birthday, actually, is the day they met up with him. And have him kind of relive that moment for us and get his kind of firsthand take on that.
I mean, yeah, they hung out with him at the Louvre. How cool is that?
It's awesome.
They're living the good life right now. They're living the good life.
Well, they're living the very
They're going to have to come back eventually.
Yes,
someone's
going
to have to tell them.
They'll come back to reality, and the Bulls will go on an 8-game losing streak, and then we'll say, yeah, but at least you went to Paris.
And then Will got to interview DeMar DeRozan during practice the other day. This is DeMar reacting to finding out that he has played more games than any other player in the NBA since 2010. So here's what he had to say about that.
I don't know if you've seen this stat at all, but since you were drafted, you've played the most games out of anybody in the league since like 2008, 2009.
Really?
Did you know that?
No, I did not know
What's your reaction to that?
I mean, I just said it without knowing. I mean, like I said, I always pride myself, man. I was a kid that always wanted to play every recess at school, every AAU game when you play 5 games in a day. I just always wanted to hoop, man, you know, and that's just always been my mentality. So that speaks for itself when you give me that stat, because I had no idea about that. But
Will wrote he is a hooper. I mean, he literally had no idea that this was a stat about himself. That's amazing.
I love DeMar. Cool. I mean, he just kind of built for Chicago. He's California cool, but the work ethic and, I mean, just being able to be out there on the court as much as he can be, like that's what Chicago wants to see from its players.
Right.
We've talked about that on the show before.
They've got a lot of likable guys. It makes you want them to mesh together so that it comes together on the court, right? Like, it's a little disjointed, but if they could all get it together – they have a very likable group of players that are very easy to root for.
Well, it's like that video the other day that we got of Dalen Terry interrupting Zach LaVine's press conference with everybody, his media scrum, and then
come
DeMar
get your
steps
son.
In. Yeah, he's like, come get your son, and they have this inside joke about, you know, him being his stepchild or whatever, and it's just funny because a lot of people saw that, loved it, and responded and said, I just want this chemistry to now show up on the court as well. So if they could find that good balance, it'd be great. More of our guys meeting their legends, their heroes, their favorite players. Big Dave got to meet LeVar.
I'm a little upset about this, to be
Ball.
Honest.
Why are you upset about this?
I can't stand LeVar Ball.
Yeah, he's not a legend.
Well,
Ball sports legend. LeVar, big baller.
Yeah, I like LeVar.
Honestly, like LeVar. Here's the thing. I'm actually annoyed at Big Dave for liking him because – remember the dumb thing he said about how he could take Michael Jordan in a one-on-one contest?
Yeah, I do remember that.
Come on, bro.
Really? Over and over he said it.
And Big Dave can't decide who he prefers, whether it's D-Rose or MJ. So for him to then feel this way, I don't know. But
anyways, he met LeVar.
Yeah, here's the video.
What's good with you, man? How you doing, man?
What's up, Dave? I'm from Chicago.
Oh, okay, for the shot. Yeah, okay. What's good with you?
I just want to tell you, I'm a fan I am of yours, man. As a father.
Okay.
I'm a fan of you. Like, I always think you're the offensive lineman, you know what I mean? Like, you take everything on so your kids ain't got to deal with that.
Bro. Man, it's good, man. Yes, indeed.
You're wonderful, man.
Yes.
I appreciate what you do, bro.
Thank you, man. I appreciate you, man. Much love, man. So keep doing your thing.
Safe, bro.
So, I mean,
I respect what LeVar's wearing. He looks good. Little sheep.
Yeah.
Outfit. Yeah. Looks cozy over there. It's cold in Paris. It's like here this time of year.
Big Dave should have had him sign his little personal air conditioner.
I don't know if Big Dave like an autograph. Shocked.
I think you're cool. Would you sign it?
I thought for sure that was making the
carry-on. Well,
it's cold
in Paris. It's cold there, like here.
Big Dave uses that every night here.
Yeah, but you don't want that to get stuck in customs.
Get the source of hot air to sign the source of cold air.
That's right.
There you go.
You're full of hot air, but I think you're cool. Sign my air conditioner.
And last but certainly not least, this is the highlight of the week, of the day, maybe the year for Matt Peck.
Highlight of CHGO for sure.
Yeah. This is Matt Peck wearing his Joakim Noah shirt and meeting Joakim Noah, his hero. This
Wait,
is so
Casey, I want to hear you say what it says on the T-shirt.
I hate this shirt because I'm from Ohio.
What does it say, Casey?
It's a great
it
shirt.
It says, I've never heard anybody going to
I
Cleveland.
Never heard anybody say, I'm going to Cleveland on vacation.
Okay,
Casey.
It doesn't have to be a vacation spot to be a cool place to check out, first of all.
Well.
We'll move on. This is exciting for Matt because look at how they're hugging. Look at this embrace. If you're listening on the podcast.
This is where it got weird and where
I sent this picture to my wife and she said, why? Yeah.
If you're listening on the podcast and you can't see this image, go to Twitter. He's showing Joakim Noah his shirt. He has a Joakim Noah face shirt on and then the obvious shirt underneath that. Joakim Noah's like, I've seen that. He's super excited about meeting. And then we obviously had Lawrence make this great image of it in the Mona Lisa spot.
You didn't ask me to do it. I just did it.
Leaving a little room for the Holy Spirit right there, which is I appreciate.
There's two awesome parts to that. The first one is when he's hugging Joakim and he kind of looks back to be like, are you getting this on camera?
Yeah, he looks so happy.
Are you guys looking at this? Do you see me? I'm hugging Joakim Noah.
So, wait a minute.
And then that long one right there, the one that you hang in the Louvre right there or in the Art Institute when they bring it back with them, that's funny because it looks like he's patting down Joakim Noah for weed or something. Like it's uncomfortable. The whole thing is like.
But he's also doing like the under hug that like women do. It's not awkward. Like the over hug, yeah, like awkward. A bro hug. It's like very. It's amazing.
We need to make that into like a cutout.
I love
put
it.
Put it on set.
You could make so many quotes out of that. It looks like Joakim's about to
yeah,
say.
Yeah, caption this.
Bro, are you serious?
Look at that guy in the middle that kind of looks like Joey, like a bald Joey.
Have you ever seen when when Tim Howard came back from the World Cup in 2014?
Yes.
There was this video. He was in the drop-offs at LAX, and this dude came up and gave him a handshake and then went in for the hug. And Tim Howard literally, like, stopped him and moved him back. Like, and Joakim almost looks like he's about to do this here, but he's Joakim, and he gave him a hug.
Yeah, that's right.
Which is why Joakim's
awesome. He returned the hug. This is also the moment that the restraining order was officially signed.
Now, does that go across international borders? Is this
just
in France?
Yeah, that comes with.
Joakim Noah liked the post of that you made, Lawrence,
yeah,
of him. So, I mean, that's cool.
Yeah.
He didn't repost it, which is fine.
No, it's not fine. Come on, Joe.
But he did like it, which means he doesn't maybe want to file a restraining order.
By the way, I was watching TikTok last night. Did I tell this to you already, Luke?
No.
I was watching TikTok last night. There was a woman doing a TikTok from the Blackhawks game that came up in my feed.
Okay.
I look in the background. Matt Peck is in the row behind her.
Come on.
I'm like, what is going on
here? It's pretty
weird.
And
then she did like the... I saw, like, it could be Peck's friend, I'm not sure, because she does this weird thing, and she, like, gets a shot of him standing, like, I was like, holy shit, that's Peck.
It's
like, what are the odds?
It's pretty amazing. They're listening
He's
to
everywhere.
Us.
He's everywhere.
They're listening to us. The internet knows what we're talking about and when. It's kind of scary.
Yeah.
But a lot of great things happening. The Bulls are winning the game in Paris against the Pistons right now. So that's good news. Just great experience all around for CHGO Bulls. So I wanted to take scroll stoppers to highlight some of what they've been up to.
Can we talk about how awesome?
Merci beaucoup.
Real KC. Quick, what an unbelievable week it's been for CHGO. On Tuesday, we came in here, and I walked in the door, and Vinny Duber and Lawrence were doing a Zoom interview with Dylan Cease, mm-hmm. the Cy Young runner-up in 2022.
Cy
Cease. A little later that day, Kevin Warren did a press conference, and we did a sit-down interview with him. Adam Hoge and Nick Moriano did a great job doing that. And then CHGO lands in Paris, and we do our first international show ever.
I'm tired, but I do love when the content is flowing because it makes my job easier, harder and easier at the same time.
Exactly. So I think I feel like we keep leveling up at CHGO every week, and I love all of our audience who makes this possible.
Yeah.
Keep buying our products, keep buying diehard stuff because that's what keeps all this stuff going on. And it's a lot of fun. I know everyone's having fun. This is what this is supposed to be fun. I know we grew up in an age of journalism where you were not supposed to show certain things, whatever.
Right.
But that we're able to have a network where we're doing serious things, but also having an atmosphere where Matt Peck can go up and
that's right.
and bro out with Joakim Noah is just awesome.
Guys, the guy who photobombed him looks like Joey, but bald.
Yeah. Enough of that.
Nice to meet you. My name's Meat Peck, and you can follow me on Twitter, and then Noah looks back at me and says, you're standing on my Crocs.
Yeah, he's wearing Crocs and a bucket hat, which is better kind of amazing. Yeah.
All right. Well, we appreciate everyone tuning in to the Chicago Sports Podcast for this week. For Luke Stuckmeyer, Mark Carmen, Lawrence Benedetto, woo! Casey Standahar, I'm Kevin Kaduk. Thank you for joining the Chicago Sports Podcast, presented by Goose Island. See you next Thursday.
Goosebumps.